Ladies and gentlemen, Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it's Saturday, June the 13th, 2026, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me, and we're just having a general conversation, so I'm going to let you take it, Joe.
Okay, what I was talking to Stu about was Trump. Everybody thinks that Trump can be influenced. No, he can't be influenced. That is because he's old from the beginning. Dr. Jim Corsi said it. Trump was owned by the Mega Boys. Those are billionaire, Kazarian Mafia billionaires that control everything. And those are the guys that will tell Trump yay or nay. So when these people think that Trump will maybe turn to the good way, no, he won't, because who owns him? And even they have people on the internet that said, who are out of the mega group, we will not let the alt-right into the Republican Party leadership, including Tucker Carlson. And that's exactly what's happened. And so as things began to change more and more, everybody was talking about AI and everything like that. Well, guess what? These data centers are turning out to be toxic. But what they do is, there are ways for you, for them to get into 401ks and retirement funds. That's all. And so you had an opposition that said, oh, the data centers and AI are going to take over, and da-da-da-da-da. Then you had those that were saying, like, Teal, we're going to get it going. And you had this anti-group. And all it was just a dog and pony show. They wanted to get after the retirement fund, they wanted to get after the 401ks, and they did. And the toxic centers are turning out to be what I said a long time ago when I was I learned that because El Paso, Texas became an experimentation for NAFTA of shifting out our basic industry out of this country. And they built a plant to make motherboards in what is Mexico, right across the river from El Paso. It turned out it took so much water to cool things off that they drained the aquifer in El Paso. And that's what they're going to do here. Right here in the Phoenix area, we've had 107 plus and no rain. Is Nevada and the dam and the Lake Mead, are they going to go into a dead water scene? Or they do have emergency pumps for Vegas, but maybe that's why they're closing down the casinos. You know that, folks? They're tearing down the casinos. They're closing them down. And maybe they're depopulating the area, which is right around Area 52, which you were very familiar with. And we can understand what Stu has said concerning the fallen angel alien and Otis Johnson. There's this high-tech breakaway civilization sponsored by the Mega Boys, ruled over by the fallen angel aliens, and there you have it. Nothing's going to change.
Tell them about
how you met Otis back in prison, and how you made a pact with him that he would tell you where they were doing the human sacrifice. Go ahead and tell them.
Well, I met him when I was locked up illegally back in God, what year was it? 1992. And they caught me. I was hiding from the FBI, working with Ross Perot. He was running for candidate. Presidential candidate, and he burned them for me. He got them with the M&L business machines, but it's a long story. But I met Otis. I was in jail. He knew I was being held illegally. And he approached me. He told me who he was. And his roommate, there were two in a cell. Now, I had a cell by myself, because I told the guards, I said, you put another clown in here threatening me, I'm going to kill him. So they took him out. But Otis was in jail with a guy, I can't mention his name, who busted John Gotti. He was in protective custody. Otis was in protective custody, testifying, making it look like he was a prisoner, testifying against the Louisiana governor who he put in jail for taking bribes from Daddy Bush, etc. Otis at the time was assistant to William Casey, CIA director, who was murdered. And what they did to him is Bush went over and he took a needle and he shoved it in Casey's temple, causing cerebral hemorrhage while two clowns held him down. His wife was upstairs, heard him screaming. Anyway, he was laid in Bethesda Naval Hospital for, I think it was 10 or 12 days, whatever. And Otis was his assistant and another guy. And they went and saw him immediately. And they told him what Bush did. Well, he had the whole floor below closed off to Secret Service and above him. And there were only like two or three shifts, whatever it is, of nurses and doctors that were there on him. Now, when he died, within 6 months, all the doctors and nurses were suicided. In other words, oh, they committed suicide. No, they didn't. They were suicided by the government to kill him because they knew too much, because Casey was running his mouth. Now, Otis went to the old Navari, which was coming up here on the 21st of June. In the 22nd, he went there to get an order signed by Bush, Vice President George Bush, Iran-Contra boy. He needed a document signed, and it was pertaining to Iran-Contra, drugs, guns, all the whole bit. Anyway, he had to get this document signed, Casey did, by Bush. So he got it done. Otis went there to the old Navari, downtown Denver, Colorado. It's an old whorehouse casino that my ex-father-in-law, a devil himself, owned. It's across from the Brown Palace Hotel. And Otis was told, when you fly in, you get in there, just walk through the Brown Palace bar. The Ship's Tavern, I think is the name of it. He says, you go down the hallway, there's a restroom on one side and a restroom on the other. And there's a third door. He says, go through that third door, take a left, and go through the tunnel. The lights will be on. He did. Now, since then, that year that he was there, they built a ramp from the hotel over to the above street ramp, glassed in. When they stay at the Brown Palace Hotel, all these Satanists that fly in there, the Council of 12, they call them, the top 12 disciples of Satan. Satan shows up, the Baphomet, the gold-headed demon. But he said he went there, knocked on the door, and 0070 Johnson. He says, Stuart, says, two big goons my size. And Otis was, he was 6'8 or something. I mean, he was tall, he was heavy, thick, and the whole bit. Anyway, probably weighed 300 pounds. I would say, estimate. But here's what the deal was. He goes there and says, you guys are bigger than me. And he came to the door. He says, what do you want? He says, I'm here to see the vice president. I need his signature. So then Bush comes to the door. And they open up the door. And Bush sees Otis. He says, step in, Otis. So Otis steps in. He says, I need to have this order signed immediately, sir. So Bush takes the order and he's looking at it. He says, sir, I can hear your voice, but I have to verify that it's you. He says, I need to see your face. So Bush pulls back the black hood that he had on. Hood and robe, black robe. They were doing a human sacrifice on an infant. He pulls the hood back. He says, yes, sir. He says, you. He says, yeah, what is this? He tells him. He says, okay, so he reads it. So he's signing it. Otis sitting there looking around the room. He sees people over drinking blood out of a I think they call it a chariot or something. It's like a big cup that they're drinking the blood of this infant that they just sacrificed, because they sacrifice them on these summer and winter solstices. And it's a summer solstice coming up, and it's going to be done down there downtown Denver. I would ask everybody to pray against them. Okay? I even have up on my internet site, and I'll try to put it up with this audio tonight or tomorrow, where someone was busted in Texas or Oklahoma, wherever it was, kidnapping a kid in a Walmart for the human sacrifice. They were going to buy the kid, and this guy was busted. Anyway, I got a video on that, but that's what the deal is. They do this. Now, I want to add something. As Joe was talking about this economic problem, basically. The Mega Group are all part of these Satanists. APEC, the American Israeli PAC. It's right on my breaking news column. It's Stu Webb. I pushed it back up. It's run by Larry Mizell. It took over from my ex-father-in-law. When my ex-father-in-law died, Otis Johnson called me up in 2004. He says, "Stu, Leonard's dead." I said, "No shit." I said, "This is great." He said, "What do you mean it's great?" I said, "It gets some pressure off me." He goes, "No." He said, whatever inhabited your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years before it inhabited him, and now it's inhabiting Larry Mizell, because Mizell was the chosen one by Milman and the council to be the next one to be possessed by this being, fallen angel that possessed him." He said, "Think about the damage you've done to Mizell. Silverado Savings alone, you exposed his shit out and got it closed down." He says, "The HUD scandal involving Mako and the others, or not Mako, but I'm trying to think of it, but it's in my grand jury demand, where they've stolen all this property. AIMCO, and largest landlord of apartments in the United States. They've got, I think, 700,000 apartment units now. They were stolen from HUD, never putting money into it. Now, that was all part of MDC Holdings, the parent company of Silverado that Larry Mizell was running when I exposed it and got it closed down. And who was in there doing the money laundering? Neil Bush. And what did he do? He laundered $12 trillion, or $9 trillion in 12 years into all kinds of companies. But one was largest bank in the United States. They got the largest in the world, HSBC. They've got what's the bank the largest here in the U.S. now, Joe? I'm trying to think of it. Brownstone, BlackRock. BlackRock, yeah. BlackRock and Blackstone, I think it was called. But that was all drug money from Silverado. And that means it can all be confiscated. Now, something that you touched on, Joe, is the fact that the market's going up and down, up and down, up and down. It's part of the game that they're doing. And this is every time the market shoots up 1,000 points, or drops 1,000 points, they walk away with about $10 trillion of your money, folks, where they steal it. And that's what's happening now. They're going to be stealing your money to death. They want 2/3 of the population into the ground. Now, Joe, you talked about homelessness. You talked about the water shortages, all this stuff. Now, one thing about Lake Mead, and people don't know, they're in Las Vegas. The Hoover Dam. Now, when they built that thing, I think it was 12 generators are in there, or 10. Two of them go to the civilian side, one downstream into Arizona, and one of them goes into Las Vegas. The other, the other ones go to Area 51, also known as Groom Lake, or Papoose Lake, Nevada, that people don't know. Now, come to a secret. Ed Slade, the scientist that worked at Papoose Lake, that my friend, there was Harry Rupp, there was George Bush's personal pilot, flew him in there, the Papoose Mountain opened up, and he was restricted, and he saw these little alien suits. The demons put them on to make them look like they're little grays. When they're invisible, they're demons. Now, Ed worked there as a U.S. scientist. I've told this story before, but right there north of Los Angeles, south of San Francisco, and you know what I'm talking about, the point. It's a submarine base, folks. They found out that is all water underneath, and it goes underneath huge caverns. And that's a big sub base. And they take subs right to Area 51, Groom Lake. They take submarines right to Papoose Lake, Nevada. And they got saucers flying in and out of the whole place all night long. Now, I know what I'm talking about. People have died in it's the lake in northern part of Utah. What's that?
Up by Reno.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lake at Reno.
They died there, folks, and their body was washed out into the ocean, into the Pacific Ocean. Their body was found right there. And here they drowned in that lake up there in Nevada. That's because it's all underground. I'm throwing out something super top secret right now. But I'm telling you, it's reality. And what's going to happen, I'm going to tell you. Joe and I have talked about this. They want two-thirds of mankind dead. Now, we got 1,260 days approximately during the Great Tribulation of 3 years. We started it, I believe, last year in July. So we got two more years before Christ is going to return. But in the meantime, the mega group, all these Israelis first, Israel. And we have another show that you haven't heard yet. You'll be hearing it right behind this one, or before, where Joe talks about these people and how they're not, God, if any of them were saved, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. Israel is out of control. In my opinion, it's the Antichrist, and Trump is playing right in it. And the United States, in my opinion, we're going to be hit soon by Russia and China. We're going to World War III. Now, punch in George Washington's vision in my internet site in the search box, and I'll try to post it up with the show. He saw us invaded, and then what happened was, we drove them off, the people did, once they came back to Jesus Christ, Almighty God, and worshiped Him. That's what drove the enemy, Russia, China, off of us. We're getting ready to be hit. That's my opinion. Now, look at what they're doing to the market. Joe, you want to pick up on this?
I kind of checked it in the last 3 or 4 days, but it just is the idea of going up and down, up and down. I forgot what it's worth now. But like gold is up there, like around $4,000. That tells you right there that the dollar is worth nothing. It's the same thing that happened in Germany. I thought it's a decoupling, being able to get over avoidable assets like land, water, aquifers, oil. That's what these guys want to have total control over, and they're doing it. And we're not going to be part of the party. It's as simple as you can make it. Now there's what we call the Khazari Mafia. Then there's the Illuminati. as it was by Baron Steve Pagan. You can look at it, view it on the internet. Then there's one more group because of William T. Tompkins, who was a top engineer for the different aircraft companies, has stated that Germans had made contact at Paramunda with the aliens, and the aliens give them extraterrestrial knowledge, where they were given a UFO. So this is where we can eject a guy by the name of Ed Slate, tell him the story down at Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, in Mexico City, and Ed Slade and the alien that came down there with him, or met him.
Well, Ed told me he was a personal friend, and I got to meet him, but they hit him and tried to kill him, put him in a coma. And then he wanted to be paid his war bonds, and he ended up getting him killed. But Ed was a scientist that worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada, it's called, where Bush flew in there with Harry Rupp, my friend, who was Adolf Hitler's pilot. He defected and went to the OSS, and he lived in Aurora, Colorado, until his death. But he flew Daddy Bush in there when he was vice president to certain places because he was that good pilot. He was rated and everything. But Ed worked in there at Papoose. And he went down, he told me, he says, "Stu, never tell anybody this. Don't ever tell them until after I'm long dead." I said, "Okay." But he went down there with a loaf of bread-sized metal that was, he put in a leather bag, and he made it a mu metal. That's element 115. 116, 117, and 118 is Napoleon. 118 is what they make the flying saucers out of. That's the way it's shielded. Now, John Lehrer, my friend, who was a test pilot at Area 51, he was rated as the top pilot in the world next to Harry. Anyway, had all the ratings. John talked to me quite often. Matter of fact, a Christmas Eve, Rodney Stitch was in town. He calls me up, says, "Stu," and I was in Vegas, and I lived right up the street from him. So I went down and picked up Rodney, brought him up, and we spent the evening with John and his wife. Now, John's dead. But John said his father built 150 flying saucers for the government from 1952 to 1958 from the alien agreement. The 1952 to 2012 alien agreement, which he told me about, Otis told me about it, and others. And they're registered, supposedly, with the NSA. My ex-father-in-law was registered as an alien-possessed human being with the NSA. Now it's Larry Mizell, supposedly. Now he's the one in charge of APAC, the American-Israeli Pact. It's keeping us at war. But Ed made toys. So he was told to take element 115, 116, 117, and 118 and fuse it together with some kind of radiation that they did. And so he did. He was working there with aliens. Nordic-looking characters, he said. Standing 6, 7 feet, 8 feet tall, some of them. So he was told to take that down after he fused this thing together and meet this guy at the pyramid down there that you're talking about near Mexico City. He said that time of day they met him, you know, late afternoon, he says, "Stu, the place is packed with visitors. Nobody was around." He says, "I go out there." He says, "Walk up towards pyramid." And the guy says, "You must be Ed Slade." He says, "Yes." He says, "I'm so-and-so." "Yes." So he shook hands. He says, "Let me see what you brought me, what you made me." So Ed pulls it out of the bag and hands it to him. He says, "Now, Ed, take it out there and set it down about 50 yards. So he did. He walked, paced it off. He says, "Far enough." He says, "Yeah, come on back here. Set it down, come back here." So he goes back up there. And he says, "Now, look out there." He's standing next to this guy, this Nordic-looking character. And he says, "Whoa, it turned into a flying saucer, Stu." He said, "How do you do that?" He says, I thawed it into a flying saucer. Now, he thinks it back into the loaf of bread. He goes back to loaf bread and says, Ed, close your eyes. And he says, think it into a flying saucer. So Ed's trying to think it into a flying saucer. He goes, no, you're going down the wrong path. Come back up here where you were thinking a moment ago. Bye, 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 bye. The alien is sitting there reading his mind. He says, oh, now, yeah, there, yeah, now you got it. He said, now open up your eyes and look out there. It was a flying saucer. He says, come on, I'll take you for a joyride you probably never had. So he took him out in outer space where he could see the Earth, and then brought him back to the same spot. Ed was that. He was one of several scientists. When they retire from that place, they're found dead in the desert, folks. Dead in the desert. Anyway. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Now, there's another group that is supplementary to Kazari and Mahu. This is where the dark, I call it the dark Nordic. These are the, I would say, clones that were created by the aliens and took the top thinkers of Caramunda, 2 million people with their equipment, down to the Antarctic to go into what I've nicknamed a hive. There's a big, huge hive with a fallen angel alien that takes the appearance of a serpent called a reptilian. And they brought these Germans down and then worked with them and then created bodies that could contain the fallen angel alien, possess it. And in this near future, there's a sign that represents it. It's the eight-sided interacting triangles and a swastika laid on top of it. That is who we would call the ally of the fallen angels. And that is also what has ruined this world. And by the way, Ed Slade is the one that created a gold-made kind of cloth that they put between the lunar lander and the escaping mechanism. And so when Ed Slade was asked the question, and I asked him, I said, well, what about the fake moon landing? He said, no, I went because I created a shield. And when you go to look at the moon landing, when it takes off, you will see no dust. That's because they put anti-gravity machines within the moon lander. And then the question I asked next, well, how did they get past the Van Allen radiation circle? He said, the aliens helped them. So that is how Ed Slade said that he discovered for his own thinking that they were the great deceivers. Well, who was the great deceiver? Satan. Put an S on Satan and make Satans. And that will tell you the fallen angel came in.
And Ed, see, so, Ed was a Jew. Ed was a Jew that after they tried to murder him, he was in a coma for 2 years, he got to know who Christ was before his death, believe me. Anyway.
So, to tell them about Argos and the importance of Argos.
About what?
The Argos.
Oh, the Argos Tunnel?
Yep.
Well, it's in Denver, Colorado. And it's, it was a mining hole. But the Argos goes to the center of the Earth. Now, it is second Western, they call it the Western White House. It's all underground right there in Denver, Colorado, and it's 6th Avenue and Kiplinger. I think this is two cross streets. and you see a little building on the south side of 6th Avenue, and it goes east and west. On the south side, you see a little building that says Federal Center. You go out there about 3 to 3:30. I was out snooping the place up, and I was stuck in a rush hour for over 45, about 45 minutes. There must have been 1,500 cars come up out of that tunnel. That's one building above. They got a garage door, and they opened up security, and they got the local police and federal police out there, and they're blocking all the traffic where everybody can exit the place, and the new ones come in for the next shift. It's a Western White House. Dick Cheney was out there when he was vice president. He was in the Denver Tech Center at the, it's a hotel. I can't remember what the name was. I have to think of it. But it dropped down into a floor that went to the Western White House. And that's where most of the people stayed. And that's where Cheney was staying, at the presidential suite of this hotel. Anyway, the Argos Tunnel, the Aurora airplane that the U.S. developed that shapeshifts this Mu metal, Element 115. It flies 35,000 miles an hour, according to Jim Rothstein, who was a whistleblower I've interviewed before. It flies 35,000 miles an hour. Now, I'm down doing a speech in Center, Colorado, it's called. And it's right above New Mexico. And it's a lot of farmland there, plus up in northern Colorado. But there's a huge growth there. It's like a different climate. It went real flat. In behind, what is it? Not Colorado Springs. Behind the next town down from there, south of there. It's back in their center. I was out there doing a speech, and the people invited me down, and there was probably 50 people that were farmers that came over and the whole bit, and we had a big barbecue, and I was staying there, and a cop took me down there, a friend of mine. It was a sheriff up there in Colorado. He took me down, and we stayed the night down there. Anyway, we're sitting there out at night, after it's dark, about 9, 10 o'clock, and we see the blue light special. Woo, woo, woo. Keeps going towards the hole, to the Argos Tunnel. There must have been 50 of them. They're so fast, they leave a streak of blue light. The Aurora flies 35,000 miles an hour. I sat there and watched this. And I said, how often does this go on? They said, it's every night, Stu. Every night. Is what the people were telling me down there. I said, Jesus, I witnessed it myself. I found out later from Harry Rupp and others it was a blue light special, and from Jim Rothstein that it was the Aurora Project. Now, there's a sun in the center of the Earth. Two Air Force jets flew in the North Pole, chasing a flying saucer, a couple of them, and this was years ago, back in 1952. Otis pulled it out of his desk, or out of his file cabinet, showed it to me, top secret, when I was remodeling his house. Anyway, this is after he was out of jail, I was out of jail, the whole bit. It reads that they chased it, and their gauges went off, but they went in, they saw a sun, it was like a big ocean coming into the earth. They turned around, they flew back out, and flew out the same way. The KGB had on the North Pole, about the hollow earth, how it goes in on the north side. At one time they had video up there and they took it down, but it showed it. I saw it from my own eyes, if it was true video, but I believe it was. The same thing as the South Pole that Joe just talked about, where the Germans went after World War II and created this, and the aliens created a society down there. The earth is hollow and it has a sun in it. And the biggest hole going to the center of the earth is the Argos Tunnel in going out of Denver, Colorado. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. They moved a whole bunch of people out of Washington, D.C. I forgot what year it was. Back in the early 2000 time frame. Moved half of the population that works in D.C. back to the Argos Tunnel, secret underground. Go ahead, Joe.
The Argos Tunnel, folks, stretches all the way from Highway 75 all the way south down to Pikes Peak. And some people say this can't be so. Well, it is. And the series called Conspiracy Theory interviewed truck drivers that were going into a tunnel. And the truck drivers explained they're taking food for those residents in the underground. And the truck driver said, if I wanted to, I could drive from this spot all the way across the United States through a series of tunnels. Now, some people think, oh, it just can't be so. Tell them, Stu, about Otis when he took the underground train from Kansas all the way to L.A.
No, he took it from the White House. The Situation Room, folks, under the White House is about 60 stories deep. The Situation Room. And outside the Situation Room is a tunnel. And it's a little train-looking thing, he said. He said it had like four wheels on it, and it was bubble, like a bubble shield around the front. And what it did, he had to be in Los Angeles International Airport, which the tunnel runs all the way there. It goes through Kansas City. They got tunnels going across the... I forgot who it was. A whistleblower. Years ago, I interviewed him. He wrote a book about these underground tunnels that he was able to get information on. But Otis told me he got in this little go-kart-looking thing with a bubble with another guy, another agent. And they left the Situation Room. He said, Stu, he said, this thing started going. It runs on electric current, and it raises. He said, we were looking down the side with oxygen masks on, and the gravitational pull is like us being thrown into outer space on a rocket, he said. He said, it was so powerful. We're trying to look down and see, and he says, we see that we're elevated up off the track after we get going for a while. And it was electricity. He said, if that thing came off the track, we would have been like a fly hitting a wall. He said, you know, fly swatter hitting you. He said, this thing, in 45 minutes, we went from the Situation Room in the White House all the way to Los Angeles International Airport in 45 minutes, folks. 45 minutes. Now, right here in Kansas City, I'm trying to think of the old museum downtown. They have concerts and they have different festivals going on. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, that's where they go. If you're a federal employee and you got permission to be underground when all hell hits, you go there and that's your entry into the tunnels. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, those are vast. They used to post a picture of the machine. What it does is it's using an atomic type of energy to create the tunnel, and it vitrifies the surface very smooth. So there are other areas just like the Argos, like Dulce, Kirtland Air Force Base, and even I would say there are other places that are along the border and over in Mexico that are these underground bases. So the only thing that I can make of this is that I believe, yes, that there are good guys that are part of that advanced civilization, and there are the bad guys. And so that's how I keep things in view. There's the good guy and the bad guy. And there is a contest going on. And I have seen it above me when I've been laid out at night, and I saw these pin lights get into a dogfight, and I saw a laser light go from one to the other, and I watched it explode. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was seeing things, but no. So you have, I think, a group of good guys, faction two, bunch of bad guys, faction one. Then you have the gray guys that are kind of one way or the other, and I call them faction three. So that is what I think, that with the understanding that Stu has said, it gets a bigger picture and how the present time is going to turn out, I don't know. But I can tell you right now, we have a hot wind here in Phoenix, and it is man-made. Heart. And there's no doubt, and we have had no rain here in Phoenix. And by the way, which brings it up, whatever you do, don't let a data center into your area. It will destroy your area. So Peter Thiel and those guys are going to do their security camera thing. Don't let them do it. So go ahead, Stu.
I think you touched on it pretty much. Now, what we're seeing, you brought it up, homeless, amount of homelessness. And people are moving out of Texas because they can't get water down there. People are coming to the Midwest. Well, yeah. Come up here and get hit with HARP all the time, like we're doing under tornado watch tonight here in Kansas City. So, but I'm seeing tons of more homeless people on the streets around. I mean, seriously. They're walking around, and they're begging for money and everything else. And I haven't seen that for years. But they're begging, they sit out there, and you go in a store, and they say, hey, man, can you give me a buck so I can get something to drink? They don't have anything to drink. And they're homeless. And we're seeing more and more and more and more, and there's going to be more, as they steal your money. What happens is, they're squeezing the economy with this war. This is all set up intentional. And it's the mega group. It's these Israeli firsters. Israel first. Israel, the Zionist. Everything's about Israel. And we're in the middle of a mass war. It's going to lead to war on U.S. soil by Russia and China, in my opinion, very shortly as a result of what's going on. It has to come to an end. But will Trump do it? No. He follows the boys with the money. I can tell you a story about his casino out there in New Jersey. I think it was New Jersey or wherever it was at. He builds one. Hillary Clinton, during the election against him the first time, she stood out in front of the building and said, look, he went bankrupt on these other four buildings. They weren't completed. Mike's father-in-law and Daddy Bush are the ones that financed him. They came forth because he was trying to get it from the banks. He couldn't get it to build more casinos. Because they, New Jersey, I think it was, I forgot the name of the city. They had the casinos. Millman did, Leonard Millman, and George Bush, Sr. They controlled that casino town. Anyway, so Trump comes in there and puts up a new building, and all of a sudden, he's getting all the business. And they're not making any money. And he wants to expand because he's got his hotel filled up every night, and he wants to build some more hotel buildings. He's going to take over the gambling in the town. So they loaned him the money from their insurance companies. A couple of insurance companies they had. Oh, yeah. So he put his building up. There are four buildings. And he never got them even completed on the outside of the building. But he got the building up, or the four buildings up, and the insurance company, if they repossess on him, they're under. Someone just got shot. They're under. They would be forced to pay the subcontractors. The subcontractors on those buildings were never paid. Trump had to put it in bankruptcy, which he did. Somebody else got shot. This kind of crap goes on in my city, Kansas City now. Now, he turned around and they foreclosed on him. Henry Kissinger bailed him out. They set him up. Henry Kissinger, one of the 12 disciples of Satan, through his Deutsche Bank in Germany, wherever it was at. He's the one that bailed Trump out. But they never paid those insurance companies, never paid the subcontractors. It was under law they have to pay them, and they didn't. Daddy Bush and Leonard Millman. But somewhere along that line, when he hooked up with Henry Kissinger, that's where, in my opinion, Trump got lost. You follow me, Joe?
Yeah. Well, I think we ought to close it out, Stu, because I'm running out of thoughts here.
I am, too. I'm tired today, buddy. I have to go outside and see what this noise is all about. Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today and having a talk with the American people. Give them the last word on what they should do, in your opinion.
Just try to hang in there the best way you can.
And get weapons, folks. Weapons, ammo, and canned food and can openers. Start stocking up now, because we're going to be in a bad situation shortly. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.